Richard, tell us about that. Did it take a while for Coach Trickey to convince you guys to come out here?
See, when I first met the coach, he was coming to sign Larry Baker and Jesse Traylor. And I was still visiting universities and stuff. I met Coach and stuff, and he talked to me, and he changed my mind. I decided to come with him.
What was that like when you came to Tulsa, that experience at first?
I mean, it was different because I came from an all-black school. When I got to Oral Roberts, it was 99% white.
Was that tough for you?
It was different. It wasn't tough. People out there was wonderful.
They accepted you?
Yes. It was the best school I could have went to.
Did President Roberts talk to you, to the other blacks, to make you feel comfortable?
Yes. He would talk to us. Like once a year, he would have a dinner at his house. The whole team would go to his house and stuff.
Coach had to make you feel good to bring such star quality players here to Tulsa, like Tulsa had really never seen before.
The first thing we did, we didn't have any way for them to get around.
They didn't have cars?
We were over here on the
south side,
and they can't get over to the north side. President Roberts said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to build a dormitory. And the next thing I know, he's got them up there building places.
See, when we first came here, one of the blacks staying outside. We couldn't find no apartments.
Because they didn't have any place on campus yet for you to stay.
Right. I was married.
What did you do to find a place?
I don't know who found the apartment, but they found the apartment.
How close was it to Ori?
Oh, we were real close. Right, probably there. About 71st and Lewis.
And then they built a dormitory for the athletes.
Right.
So
that thing was built in like 6 months. We had that thing fixed.
What did you do about transportation?
Coach had one of the trainers come and pick us up and bring us to school.
Was that kind of...
It was unused because I couldn't drive. My family never had a car. Coach learned me how to drive while I was in school.
Where did you play your games?
In the old gym.
It was the field house.
Field house, yeah.
And let me tell you, you can't believe this. The first thing I did, I had to build something in between the doors because it was so darn cold, and they had to stay outside. So we had things painted on there where we knew exactly how many seats we had. Remember that, Richard?
Yeah, I remember.
We painted that thing. There wasn't anything in there at ORU. And the next thing you know, I've got that thing painted. President Roberts, he never said no. He'd come in there and I'd have a painting.
Were you down there painting yourself?
No, I got people there that would do this.
See, when we first came, they were every like about 400 or 500 people. We would sell out. I think the gym will hold
Look at the legs.
5,000, 6,000.
After about 4 or 5 games his first year, that thing all of a sudden is full.
Packed. Standing room only.
Packed out. That all came right out of those kids. It wasn't anybody else. President Roberts, he'd say, where's my Pepsi Cola? He'd come in. I mean, he was wonderful. He was just thrilled to death.
We had people coming from the north side, black and whites all together.
Let me tell you, we had all of the black people. Black people weren't playing over Tulsa.
At TU, you mean?
TU.
Right.
All of a sudden, the black people were coming in droves.
Mm-hmm. And we should say that was in 1969 to 73 that you were playing there. So that's the era where this is kind of a new thing then. The thing I think that perhaps got the attention of the public, it was this kind of run-and-gun style that you brought to the game.
I'm going to explain that to you. First of all, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Bob Brooks, that was something that Bob Brooks thought up, and he liked it. We run and gun. I said, why don't we just say we run and shoot?
You didn't like run and gun.
Okay. I mean, why don't we just call it run and shoot? I mean, that just sounded better to me.
Okay, but the point is, your game was a very fast-paced shooting game.
Yeah, we press 90 feet, rush the ball down the court.
As a matter of fact, Richard, you would shoot from maybe just a few steps beyond midcourt.
Yeah, I had good range.
If they had the three-point basket then, you'd have been really
scoring. I probably had about 4 to 5.
As it was, the team, ORU, averaged 105.1 points per game during your junior year, Richard, of 71 and 72. You personally averaged 35.9 that season. Still ranks as ORU's second leading scorer with 3,004 points.
Yeah, but they didn't get the three-point. They should have had an asterisk when they started the three-point. All right, we're going to start having a three-point. But there's going to be an asterisk because it's not fair. It's not fair. If he had that three-point shot, my gosh, what would he have?
Well, as I think you've said, would have averaged 46 to 48 points a game with a three-point line.
Yeah.
But the three-point basket came on in the 1980s. The point is, you took about 34, 35 shots a game.
Yes.
And were a prolific scorer. And all these people from Tulsa heard about all this.
Yeah.
And that's what started packing the gymnasium.
Right.
Yeah. The mayor came to see us play. I mean, all of a sudden, we didn't have any room. I'd give them my seats.
I'm pointing out for those who are listening, Richard, your 35.9 average was the 19th highest in NCAA Division I history. You averaged 31.8 as a sophomore in 70 and 71, 27.1 over the course of your 111-game ORU career. You're too modest. I wanted to say that for everybody. Those are the facts.
Oh, yeah.
This is one fine basketball player we're sitting here with today.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Plus, playing on a knee that had to have surgery, and not because I love him, he's the best of all time. He's the best. I haven't seen one.
They would have added more to the NCAA scoring numbers, but your junior season, you finished second in the nation in scoring, but since Oral Roberts University did not gain NCAA Division I status until 71, and because the school was an independent, not affiliated with an athletic conference, your career points and average totals do not go down in the men's basketball record books as Division I accomplishments.
Right.
In February 71, you scored 60 points in a game against the University of the South, which also does not go down in Division I history.
Right.
So that should also be taken in account.
We didn't want to be in any conference, and we never wanted to be in a conference. We never. That was not my deal.
Yeah.
And that was never put in there all the time I was there.
No. About Richard, then in 72, you were named the NCAA Men's Basketball All-American. You were on the consensus second team. I point this out here because the consensus first team was Henry Bibby, Dwight Lamar, Bob McAdoo, Ed Ratliff, Tim Riker, and Bill Walton.
Mm-hmm. Right? Big time.
Right.
So you were on the consensus second team as a junior with Barry Parkhill, Jim Rice, Bud Stallworth, and Henry Wilmore. They were from Michigan, Kansas, Louisville, Virginia, and here you have Oral Roberts University in all of that.
Right.
So those were great honors.
Yes.
I also have records here of all-time records. Your 60 points that you scored against University of South, February 1971. So if you look up the list, 65 points, Anthony Roberts eclipsed you by five.
Yeah.
But we have Pete Maravich at 61, Wayman Tisdale at 61, Elgin Baylor scored the same amount as you did, 60 points. The great company that you were in as you scored those 60 points. Then we go higher, but Pete Maravich at 59 and Rick Barry, 59. Bob Foothills Curland, who I've interviewed, 58 points. That's the kind of crowd that you're in the record books with that 60-pointer.
Mm-hmm.